Here we are in the congressional corner with my favorite congressman, because he is my congressman, Richard Neal from Massachusetts' beautiful 1st District. He's been in office since 1989. That's a long time, right, Richie?
It is a long time, but I think it also secures a pretty good institutional memory that was highlighted by our achievement recently of what the president proposed in his special relief package.
Now, I know how hard you work, and I know you're not going to go beating yourself on the chest. But the fact of the matter is the American Rescue Package, which was signed by President Biden, you had a lot to do with that, didn't you?
We wrote $1 trillion of the $1.9 trillion package, including the child credit, the child dependent credit, unemployment insurance, the earned income tax credit, the checks that went out, and the success we have with the multi-employer pension plans. All of those items were included in that bill. And it's been now compared to the Great Society of LBJ and initiatives that FDR would have undertaken. It was seismic in its consequences. And yes, the Ways and Means Committee wrote most of it, coupled with the fact that when it went over to the United States Senate, there were only some cosmetic changes before they came back to us. They took the foundation that we had built and passed it.
Did you find yourself talking either with Biden, President Biden, or his people, his top people?
I did. I talked to the president. Actually, I'm glad you raised that question because I want the president to get a lot of credit for this. After all, it was the document that he signed in the end. But not to miss the point, at the White House, about 2 weeks before the bill was actually written in the committee, I told the president, as he sat under a beautiful, stunning portrait of FDR, he said, "What are you thinking?" And I said, "This is what we're going to do, Mr. President." And the items I just described you a moment ago were items that he subsequently embraced. But it was the Ways and Means Committee that did it. And as soon as the legislation passed, I got a call from the president. And with some humor, Alan, because you were in Washington, you know how these things happen. The first two times his number came up, I didn't recognize the number, so I didn't take the call. And a staffer said, "It's the president." And I said, "Let's get that call." And he was laudatory in his comments about what we had actually accomplished. And I think that this is a good example of what you can do with a president who actually has a good institutional memory as to what can be accomplished.
Did you know him before he was president?
I did.
What was that like?
Well, I think that he would have shared that generational interest in actually passing legislation. I mean, maybe not the best at shaping the narrative, not the best at hunting for outrage every moment of the day on social media, but he would share my belief in what I call the rhythms of legislating. And the rhythms of legislating actually include timing and what you can get done. And I think that he saw those two Senate seats in Georgia as launching him into a much more ambitious plan than he might have been able to embrace had we lost one or both of those Senate seats in Georgia. That, again, changed everything because it gave him a North Star to guide him.
Does he have sort of carpe diem, seize the moment approach to politics that if something happens like the two Georgia seats, or even terribly, like the shootings, he knows that you have to use the, well, almost like jujitsu. You have to use the whole thing to help you to get your stuff done.
Well, it's the power of the example, and I think that he does that very well. But it would have been something that he would have learned in his many years in the Senate, because there was a generation in the Senate who actually embraced camaraderie and the idea that you had to do things when you had the opportunity. I mean, people will frequently say, well, where's the next LBJ type achievement? Well, people forget that the size of the majorities that LBJ won in 64 allowed him to do extraordinary things. And he highlighted that in his own memoirs when he said, "We have to do this now because from 64 to 66, we're likely to lose seats. And then by 68, the nation was engulfed in the debate over the war in Vietnam." But never to miss the point that he had such a large governing majority after he routed Goldwater in 64 that he was able to do Medicare, Medicaid, Voting Rights Act, Civil Rights Act. All of those took place like in 65. And then you move on to PBS, the Wilderness Act, NPR, all of these achievements. But it was still the size of the legislative majority he had that impelled him to those achievements.
It's amazing. Tell me how much Nancy Pelosi worked with you on this $1.9 trillion.
I'm glad you asked that. I talk to her sometimes hourly.
Really?
She thinks nothing of calling me at 10:30 at night if she has an idea or she's heard something that she wants me to vet for her. And when she said to me, Mr. Chairman, she said, I was almost embarrassed when I was talking to other committee chairmen when I was telling them what their allocation would be of expenditure, and then I had to say to them that the Ways and Means Committee would have $1 trillion of responsibility. So she tried to be diplomatic about it, but all of these were tax-related matters, and the Ways and Means Committee oversees that. And so in 19 hours of spirited debate, but not mean or rancorous debate in the committee, we were able to get the legislation out, got it to the process of reconciliation in the Senate, passed it in the House. And a couple of days later, I was at the White House in the Rose Garden with the president as he signed the legislation.
Do you think that the Republicans who voted against it, of course, en masse, do you think that they were secretly pleased?
I do. I'll give you a quick example that highlights what you've just said. The multi-employer pension plan is a complicated issue, but it's overwhelmingly concentrated in Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And the multi-employer pension systems, which are union and non-union, they worked very well in a different age. But deregulation, mergers, acquisitions, it changed what is known as the last man standing rule, meaning that because there were different employers that kicked in to the retirement plans of the employees, they coalesced around the system. The problem is the system over decades changed, and there were simply, under that rule that I've just described, fewer people that were able to support the system. So I pushed this for years. It affected, I believe the other day on the call with the AFL-CIO and the Teamsters and others, 3 million people. In the House, when this measure came up as a standalone, 30 Republicans voted for it, all from the states I've just described. And that's the significance of it, and I think that a lot of those elected representatives in the House were very glad to see this pass.
And we'll go and take the credit for it. When
oh, there's no question. And I there's nothing that I enjoy more than calling out people that can't wait to get to every groundbreaking and every ribbon cutting but won't vote for the expenditure.
How did they get those Republicans to act in unity? I mean, you know, that really was remarkable that they knew how important this thing was. They knew that they were enjoying it, as you said. But what was the lever?
Well, it's wildly popular, and I think that polling in the 60s, even with Republicans, never mind 90s with Democrats and independents. But I mean, there's an old secret to legislative life, and that is that nobody ever lost based on voting against something that passed or for something that didn't. And I think that they subscribe to that. So they're going to go back home and they're going to say, well, I disliked the price of the package, or I disliked the way that this was done. Well, what about the multi-employer plans? Oh, I'm glad they did that. That's the dilemma that you face with large legislative packages.
Richie Neal, we can't tell you how grateful we are that when you show up and you come here, we know that you're a very busy man running the Ways and Means Committee. And, of course, those of us in the First District are very proud of you. So thank you so much. When we come back the next time, let's talk a little bit more about the $1.9 trillion package.
Thank you, Alan.